Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome to New Life Live. This is Chris Williams standing in, or I should say sitting in, for Steve today. And
It's a sit-in, not a stand-in.
Yeah, I may stand up and protest at some point in time. So Jill or Alice is going to say something I don't agree with. So I'm just kidding.
Of course.
So speaking of, I'm with Jill Hubbard.
Yes. Hello, Chris.
Alice Benton.
Yeah. Hi. Hi, everybody.
Yeah.
And it's good to be with you guys.
It's good to be with you guys.
All right. We were talking a little bit about Easter.
We were.
And the Tuesday after Easter. And so I want to talk about a super heavy topic, and it is the anxiety of death.
Oh, okay.
Right?
We're not talking about your...
About the egg drop?
Yeah, about the egg drop that we were...
That has a lot
wow,
more...
Wow, okay, I got a shift
the
here.
Eggs might have been anxious yes. about
yes.
their
the
eggs.
Yes, Chris does an egg
so,
drop.
There is, you know, death is the 100% statistic mm-hmm. minus one, right? Jesus.
Yeah.
And so with all of the loss that we've experienced, even our own mortality and the subtle but sometimes really strong anxiety that people can feel around death, what do we do with this dilemma that's often called the existential crisis? So Jill, what do you got?
Yeah, what do we do with it? You know, I always marvel how at funerals, mm-hmm. memorial services, it's the one time where people will be more open and they'll actually let themselves sit with it a bit,
yes.
right? Even yeah. in their anxiety, because it's staring them in the face. And I think most of the time, like you're saying, people avoid it, and they even avoid talking about it with those who are dying.
Yes.
And until the bitter end, right?
Yes. It's
as if somehow if we don't talk about it, we can keep it from happening.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? Can. And so part of it is we need to normalize death,
mm-hmm.
right? Instead of it being this big, ominous thing we fear, I think taking those opportunities, because there has been an increased amount of death around us. I think, of people of all ages, or we're just hearing about it more. And so taking those moments to lean into it
mm-hmm.
and to see that, you know, and I've said this multiple times, as Christians, to embrace the fact that our worst day in losing a loved one is their best day.
Yeah.
Right? As they're ushered into heaven. And so to keep both those things in perspective, okay, we still have work here to do. Right? And we have to stay in this fallen world, right? But we have hope. And often, too, when you have loved ones that have passed, people that you know, the more people you know in heaven, the more appealing it is, I think, personally.
Yeah.
So to kind of look at it from all angles. And also, I think we have to be careful not to put our defended perspectives of death that we have gained over our years of maturity onto children.
Yeah.
Because they don't have those same angst necessarily mm-hmm. early on, right? And so it's good to teach them, like when a pet dies, you know, we lean in, we can be sad, like to really teach them how to grieve and how to say goodbye.
Yes.
I think those are important steps.
Yeah.
And taking care of our unresolved, unfinished business can decrease our anxiety. Whether it's, do you know what your relationship is with Christ today? How's that looking for you? And how are your relationships with the people around you? How are your financial matters? Because the more proactive we can be, especially spiritually and relationally, the more that decreases our anxiety.
Well, and I think it speaks to Easter. Eternity is a big deal. Hope in life after this life is a big deal. And I hope that you can find strength from that. Give us a call today, 1-800-229-3000. Love to talk to you. Be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Again, Chris Williams in studio today. I have with me Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Alice Benton. We would love to help you out, love to talk to you today. Give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. Again, that's 1-800-229-3000. And with that, we're going to go to Amy in Fremont, California. Amy, are you there? Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hi, Amy. It's Chris. How are you doing today?
I've been better.
All right. Well, tell us what's going on and how we can help you.
Let me ask my questions first because I might start crying and lose it.
Yeah.
I'd like to know how I can open up the lines of communication with my son and his wife after a misunderstanding about Easter dinner for our family, so that my husband and I can see them and our grandson. Mm. And then also, how do I deal with this hurt and pain that is like almost constantly running through my mind? Mm-hmm. That they just like cut me off, blocked me on Facebook, won't respond to anymore. They have talked to my husband. My daughter-in-law has done this to other family members before, where she wouldn't talk to them or see them or come to any like family dinners or anything for like 6 months or a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a pattern from her that you've seen.
Yes.
And Amy, is this the first time she's reacted this way to you?
Yes, I think so. I mean, on last Monday, I thought everything, I told her I was struggling with, you know, a lot of things. Our oldest daughter is going through the divorce from hell, which has consumed a lot of my time because she's by herself, and just a lot of things in like every area of my life. My husband, his company moved to Texas. He hasn't had a job. He's not working. Can't find one. I told her I feel like, you know, every area of my life I'm struggling in. Mm-hmm. And we had a real good talk by text. I thought Easter was never brought up, so I didn't bring it up. And she, you know, said, oh, what helps me is I go for walks, you know, try going for a walk.
Just a few days ago, everything seemed to be fine. Can you briefly explain the misunderstanding to us? What do you think happened?
Well, my husband went out to their house on Sunday. They live about 2 hours away. He's been working on putting in a whole new bathroom for them. And he was supposed to tell me about they wanted us to come to their house for Easter dinner. We have sort of a small family. We always get together for whatever holiday. And, you know, sometimes it's, you know, more last minute, but we make it work for whatever schedule people have. And I talked to my dad, who was 94, on Monday, and he said, oh, well, let's talk about it on Wednesday. I see him every Wednesday for lunch. I'm like, okay. Well, my husband didn't say anything to me until Tuesday after I had talked with my dad. He's like, yeah, you know, John wants to have dinner at their house. I'm like, okay, I'm going to talk to my dad tomorrow. And I got to my dad's, and he said, he had fallen several months ago, and he said him and his girlfriend that are 95 mm-hmm. are not up to traveling that far in a car. But he said, well, I'll take you guys all out to dinner. I'm like, great, let me send everyone a group text, which I feel like my son should have done if he felt so strongly about having it at his house. And but I mentioned, I said, you know, John was thinking about having it at his house also. My son calls me, and, you know, and my dad, and we're talking, and my son said, well, I thought we're going to have it at my house, and we were going to have an Easter egg hunt, you know, for my grandson. And my dad said, you know, it's okay. Everyone can go ahead and go. You know, we're not up to doing anything. And, but my dad's 94. You know, this could be his last Easter, too. And I said, you know, John, and then he exploded on me. Well, he said, I'll call you back. He called me back when I got back to work and said, you know, oh, you're changing everything all around. And I'm like, hey, I'm
So Amy, let me jump in here, okay, just for clarification. So the offense that I'm hearing is that is around Easter plans. And your son and his wife are planning on having Easter celebration at their house. Your elderly father would not, and his girlfriend would not be able to do that because, obviously, of their age and some of their limitations. And so you were trying to, and your father was okay not attending. Would that be correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So then I said, okay, we'll go. You know, we'll go to your house then. And
we'll go to John's house?
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Okay, so.
And he's like, no, you're always changing things around, which it usually falls on me to make it work for everyone, which. There's a lesson learned.
Okay, so hold on. Yeah, I want you to repeat that line.
Yeah, he said, I'm always changing things around.
No, now do the next one.
I'm sorry, I forgot.
That's okay. It always falls on me.
Yeah, I'm the one that, you know, my other daughter said, why is it your responsibility to see that everyone can come? And I said, it's really important to me that my family can be, we can all be together. And she said, yeah, you always do this. My son should have.
Okay,
like,
so
he didn't contact my daughter.
Amy, we're way in the details here, which is fine, but I want to bring this back to the issues that we can help you with. So your son and his wife were offended, felt like you were controlling or manipulating the situation, and then they refused to talk to you now. Is that correct?
Yep. My husband reached out to them, texted them, and said, you know, the next day, please call your mom. She's so upset. She's been crying and crying. Nothing. Well, and then I got a little stupid, maybe, and said, after a couple of days, and said, you know, I am so sad that you can't give me a little bit of grace and forgiveness.
Hmm.
You know, we'd still really like to come.
Yeah.
Maybe a little snarky, I don't know. And then he sent me back a text, just go to Grandpa's.
Okay.
And nothing.
But am I understanding, though, they never communicated their plan. They made a plan, and your husband was the only person in the family that knew about the plan.
Correct.
Okay.
And Amy, you see some truth in last-minute plans to the family, and you often are trying to change things so that everyone can attend. And that is accurate about you in the history with your children.
Yes.
So when we have a disagreement with a family member, one of the most powerful means of addressing it is looking at what was my part. And did I do something, even with good motivation, that was upsetting or unsettling for the other person? Because when we can go to it with a confession, I do this, you're right, I do. How does that affect you and your wife and your child that I often do change plans last minute? That must be frustrating for you.
Well, even if it's a family style, like you've been the one in charge, and if that has been your family style where everybody kind of just talks, what do you want to do, what do you want to do, and it comes together last minute, right? A new person coming into the family may tolerate things for a while and then start to be a little more vocal about it. And so that then, it can be surprising, right? Because, well, this is kind of just our family style, and it doesn't occur to you that maybe someone else has a hard time with that style. And so that's where I think you were hitting into the conflict. But
yeah,
Alice,
I mean,
is right.
I don't like this stuff either.
Okay.
All the time. But it happens, and people don't always, I'm not sure, my daughter has a horse ranch, that a horse rescue, and that often
So Amy
has a lot.
I'm going to go a different direction here. I don't think this is a family issue as much as it is a marital issue. I think you have a marriage problem. Your husband.
Probably that too.
Okay, hold on. No, let's not add on. This is not an add on. This is a focusing down to. Okay, we're going to focus down to the issue. So your husband had this information that he didn't communicate. I'm not saying he couldn't forget it, couldn't pass it by, but obviously there is a high level of importance around this holiday. And as you said, all things tend to fall on you, so it would seem only reasonable that if he got this information, he would communicate it. Here's where I'm going. Amy, I think you're a vacillator and your husband's an avoider. And it's causing a lot of problems in your family. And so here, this is kind of a harsh way, or not, hopefully not harsh. I want you to hear this. The vacillator holds a lot of expectation, and good expectation, not bad. But when those expectations aren't met, it's followed by a tremendous amount of disappointment or even discouragement, even despair. And so when you come in with this expectation, like I want everyone to come together, and the expectations include other people's decisions, which other people tend to not like to be controlled or manipulated. They like to have their own decisions. But when those people don't acquiesce or don't meet those expectations, there's disappointment. Then if that disappointment from you comes across as anger or sarkiness or even deep sadness, then they feel like they have to console you or manage around your emotions. And then after a while, they're just like, I don't want to do that.
So I'm not supposed to tell them I'm sad and disappointed?
Now, let me start here. I think you can tell them that, but not yet. I think you need to look at the expectations that you carry for others and learn to move more towards acceptance. Like that things will not always work out the way, holidays won't go the way we want them to. People will make,
and often that hasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I would love, he's not on the call, but I would love for your husband to also speak up for himself. I would love for him to take more of an active role in communication, in his own, in leaning in to difficult situations and not necessarily leaning away from them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, that time period in between, like he came home Sunday night, and then I was out at the horse barn late Sunday night. I didn't see him until Monday night. I mean, we didn't talk or see each other. One of us was sleeping.
Yeah.
Until Tuesday evening.
Yeah.
Well, and Amy, I think Chris is trying to point you to what you do have control over and your part. That's not to say that your son and your daughter-in-law didn't fall short of communicating what they wanted.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
They have a part in it. Your daughter-in-law has a history of this, of, maybe seeing things kind of more black and white in terms of either... I like what's happening in relationship, or I cut people off, right? That's not a very wide range there. So other people have their role, mm-hmm. but we're looking at your role since we have you on the phone.
And that's exactly it, the things that we can control. Mm-hmm. So, Amy, we're going to head to a break, but if you would like to give us a call today, please do. 1-800-229-3000. Again, that's 1-800-229-3000. We will be right back.
And we'll be back with Amy.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Again, Chris Williams in studio, Dr. Alice Benton, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and we have Amy from Fremont, California. And Amy, we're just working through this really, really heartbreaking, difficult situation. And
well, that could have so easily been avoided. But obviously, there's a lot more than just this situation.
And that's right? where we want to help, because simple front-end clear communication mm-hmm. and this whole thing is avoided. But there seems to be a pattern here that
like
we
something's
want to help
brewing
break.
Under.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Amy asked another good question, a follow-up question, Amy, which was, well, so am I not supposed to talk about my sadness and grief? And I think I even heard the hurt in your voice when you said that. And we do have to be selective about when and with whom we talk about our own pain. Because when a family member is upset with us, they probably don't have the capacity to hear our pain in that moment. And so, Amy, if we reserve our pain, if we talk about it with a different safe person, but don't bring it to the party that's offended with us, it actually does allow for communication to better open up. So I would advise you, don't talk about your grief yet with your son and your daughter-in-law. They really can't hear it. Take it to someone in your life who can hear it and be empathic to you. Because of course you're hurting. Mm-hmm. And you're worried about the state of relationship with your grandchild, too. Mm-hmm. That's a big burden.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I would say is trust the long process, not the short crisis. Mm-hmm. So I really believe that they'll come back around, but they need to experience you as safer for them. Now, hear me say this clearly, Amy. Jill and I were talking about this at the break, and that is we think there's some things going on the other side, obviously, with mm-hmm. your daughter-in-law. She has a pattern of behavior. But again, something that seems unhealthy, but also something that you can't control either. So the healthier and the safer that we get, the more that we're able to contain ourselves, the better chance we have at communication and ultimately close relationship.
And sometimes we have to go for understanding. You know, something has been played out, right? Mm-hmm. You've never been on the receiving end before, but now you have. And so sometimes it's like, you know, help me understand where we went wrong, because I'm a little bit confused. And I hear that I was trying to accommodate too many people and wasn't fully aware or on board with your invitation. So tell me what you needed from me and what I could have done differently.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that's really good, John, I think one of the things that's really, really, really difficult, Amy, that I certainly need to work on, is that when people are giving tough feedback about ourselves, mm-hmm. is to hear it and not defend it. Not to tell them why they're wrong and we're right, but just to hear them out, mm-hmm. you know, and give a chance to, like, hey, can I respond or can I give my perspective on that? And so really working on those what we call empathic communication skills. And they're tough. They're really hard to do. But, Amy, here's what I want to do. We're going to send you guys a copy of How We Love. And I want to really, really...
I have that already.
Okay, keep going through it, okay?
What about How We Love Our Kids?
Yes, How We Love Our Kids.
I don't know that.
Okay. Don't have, okay, yes, yeah. I would really encourage, if you guys haven't, even if you have, maybe do a booster. I always love the boosters, but meaning re-up again, of the Intimacy in Marriage Workshop, July 22nd through the 24th. It's in Washington, D.C., and I think that can help you out a lot. But what that does is it's not just about how we relate to our spouse, although it's primarily about that, but it opens up our eyes to how we relate to the world and people around us in general. So, Amy, thank you so much for calling in today.
Well, yeah, I just want to say, I mean, Amy, this is very hurtful, and I know your goal is to reconnect with them and open things up, but use this as an opportunity to grow yourself in terms of relationship.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yep. So again, thank you so much for calling in, Amy. And we have with us right now the illustrious Larry Sonnenberg.
I always wonder what that means. Oh, thank you,
Chris.
It's a
mystery.
Yeah, thank you. You know, we have emotional freedom coming up soon. I think it's a week from. No, it's the end of the month, but it's soon.
April 30th,
right.
Isn't it?
Yep. Thank you. I have a testimony and a couple things to say about that. This is a guy. He said, I came here dejected about my life and ministry, fearing one day the shoe would drop and others would learn that I was a fraud. What I found was, as was advertised, truth, connection, and transformation. At every turn, truth was added to me, casting light where I had only known a fog. In every session, the sharing brought me out of my isolation and hiding, only to find it unbelievably safe. The result is God is opening me up, and I'm less afraid, less closed, less ashamed, and I can get past this. I'm getting past it now. Folks, I know that there's more than one person that feels that way. So if you're feeling that way or if you're stuck with whatever it is, give us a call. Get some help. God shows up when you show up, but you got to show up first. So come there. Take that step. Make a phone call. If money's an issue, let us know. We'd like to help you. We have partial scholarships. We'd love to help you get there. And folks, if supporting a ministry is something you haven't done yet, this is your day. We need support, and you can make it simple. Just make a phone call. Tell them that you want to make a gift to New Life. Tell them you'd like to join Club New Life. To ask about that. It's a monthly giving program, and it'll make a difference, not just for us. It makes a difference to you when you give. You change. You become different. You become more self-aware about things, and you know that you're part of something bigger than yourself.
And there's a ton of resources there as you join Club New Life. So join today, and we will be right back after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Again, Chris Williams in here with Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Alice Benton. We'd love to take your call. Give us a call today. We're going to be in studio for a couple hours, so 1-800-229-3000. The other thing I was thinking about is that the emotional freedom workshop is like, well, what is this about, and how do I, is it for me? So I say it's for you. If you have this reoccurring issue or pattern or problem in your life that you either can't figure out or can't get over. And so,
You feel stuck.
You feel stuck. Mm-hmm. Stuck is actually the operative word. You feel stuck in a particular way. That could be stuck with yourself or stuck with a person, and that you need help to get a breakthrough, the emotional freedom.
Out of that rut.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we just get so limited in how we see things, right?
Yeah.
And we have done everything we have thought of. And that's part of the problem. We need beyond ourselves at times.
Yes.
When we keep repeating those patterns.
Absolutely. Yep. and the opportunity to do that. And that's what we're going to offer is that opportunity. So with another opportunity, we're going to give to Edna in Lubbock, Texas, listening on Sirius XM. Edna, are you there?
Hi. Yes, I am. Hello to all of y'all. I have a question. I don't know if it's similar to the last one you had, but we have a daughter-in-law and our only daughter-in-law who's been in our family for 18 years now, and she came in with two blessings already, and then they've had two children together, and our relationship now is strained. I mean, completely strained. And I will say that it has to be on both ends. It's not just her. It has to be us also. But with that said, we feel like we have tried a lot. And we've just kind of gone to the point to where both myself and my husband said, you know, we're not going to try anymore. We're tired of trying. But with that said, we don't feel good.
Yeah.
That the relationship is strained.
Well, Edna, if you can say the strain of the relationship is this, knowing that it probably has a lot of different details, a lot of different circumstances, but you say, hey, the heart of the matter is this. What is the heart of the matter?
I think the way she treats our son.
Oh, okay.
She treats him like he is disposable.
Okay.
And it's hard on us, but with that said, we also know it's none of our business.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, and so what have you done about that? You see that you don't like the way that she treats him. He treats him in an unsavory way. And what have you done about that?
I think most of the time we ignore it with occasional bouts of, oh, that's not nice. And not saying it, but she clearly gets the point. If we're at a family gathering and she's bragging about how hot this one person is, and I'm not talking like a person that she sees every day.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about, you know, a movie star. Like, oh my gosh, if he were here, I would do all this stuff. And I'm sitting there going, hey, I'm at the table and I don't think I would find that difficult. I would think it was funny.
Okay.
Except that you treat your husband like you despise him. So for me to hear how in love you are with this celebrity when you treat your husband horribly, it's hard for me to hear. So what I said and it was not too long ago, I said, you know, how would you feel if he said that about a woman, which I know she wouldn't like, even if it was a celebrity.
Yeah.
She would not like it.
Yeah.
And my son was there, he goes, oh, she'd be okay. It wouldn't matter. I think we've walked on eggshells around her to try to appease them.
Uh-huh. So
it's not taking care of anything.
Yeah, so what would be the question for us today, Edna?
I think she stopped coming over to our house. Anytime there's a family gathering, she has just quit.
Okay.
She goes out to clubs.
So hold on. And she's hold on. What's the question for us? We kind of get the picture about her. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we don't know how to deal with this other than saying we don't want to deal with it anymore.
Well, and I'm also hearing, Edna, that you guys kind of step in, or it seems like you guys almost feel the need to defend your son because perhaps he isn't defending himself. And that it's...
No, I mean, I would think... Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I think, well, in 18 years, mm-hmm. we probably had about four or five, like, hey, this isn't right.
Uh-huh.
So it's not a every time we see them, and we do see them a lot.
But hold on. But Edna, let me jump in because we're getting sidetracked here. The point Jill is making is that you do not see your son standing up for himself. He's okay with her behavior, or at least he's not doing anything with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And so it's like he needs defending, right? Versus, have you talked with your son about how he feels about the situation that you're observing, and what would he like you to do? Because you're feeling frustrated for him, and it's almost like you're treating him like he's incapable instead of maybe this is his choice.
Yeah.
And sometimes...
No, and I said that at the beginning. I said it is his choice. It's none of our business.
Well,
It's not our business. So on that end, it's hard to watch it.
Yes.
Well, right, right. And
even though we understand it's not our business.
Right. And I understand that it is hard to watch. And sometimes when you see things kind of at face value, you can almost cringe, right? But I'm wondering if your son, knowing all of the backstory in his relationship, may have some understanding that you guys don't have. I mean, this is a woman who already had a relationship with two kids before she met your son. I wonder how hurt she was in that relationship, and if it's hard for her to act invested. Sometimes, you know, people who have been hurt have to be defended like, I could easily get rid of you. I don't need you, because they've been hurt in their vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And so your son may understand that about her, that it's just all a show because she's protecting herself. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but it would be interesting to talk with him and just say, help us understand, because this is the woman that you love, and you've been with her for 18 years, and for some reason, we just keep scratching our heads. We get confused by what we observe, and so maybe we're not really seeing the whole picture here.
You might also ask him what he wants from you.
Mm-hmm.
Because in his response and in your own evaluation of how you and your husband have addressed this, you made four or five attempts to point out a behavior that is unattractive and inappropriate. Maybe it's more than that. You mentioned the clubbing. And so, of course, as a mother, I would wonder, is this woman faithful to my son? Is this just a sign that she's immature in how she speaks? Or is she going out on my son? And then she's flaunting it, talking about celebrities at our table. My mind would go all kinds of places as a protective mama bear of my son. And those questions could be very reasonable questions. So asking your son, how do you think we've handled it? How has it affected you when we have talked about it? And what would you like us to do at this point, if anything? Allow him to give you feedback about it.
And I'm fine with all that. I don't think that is... I mean, I know what he wants. He doesn't want us to do anything, and we don't want to do anything. It's his choice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is not our choice. He wants to be treated that way. My question is, how do we come... Because we can't not see her, and I know that we've prayed on it. We have prayed and prayed and prayed.
So,
and we're not doing something correct.
Edna, so you hear the music. So we're going to head to a break here pretty soon. But and we'll come back. We'll finish this up with you and give you some good directions as far as this goes. These situations are messy. We would love for there to be one principle, three steps we can give you. But we're going to give you some direction to go with this. We're going to be right back after this. But if you'd like to give us a call... Call in today. We're going to be here a couple hours. 1-800-229-3000. Again, 1-800-229-3000. And we'll be right back with Edna.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. We're talking with Edna, who's who her son is being and has been mistreated by daughter-in-law, and just creating a lot of difficult situations and being very difficult to be around. So, so Jill, what do you think here?
A couple of ideas, Edna. You've already talked to your son, and it sounds like he doesn't really want you to intervene. It's his choice, so we've already established that. But she's a difficult person in your life, and it's difficult to watch. So I think you have to take a different approach with her. I think you have to assume that you don't understand all, as I said previously, that you don't know what's underneath that kind of brash exterior that she uses. And so almost look at her as a ministry. And I think you have to find something in her that you can value. So you have to, you know, there's a lot you may have to weed through, but you find something that you value. And I want you to lean into that. And I want you to think about how can you encourage her and lean into the relationship, even though she may, you know, be like a porcupine and push you away, or, you know, it's just hard for you to stomach at times. See it as somebody, almost like somebody that you're trying to kind of break through a bit, right? And see, is there a soft underbelly here, or is it just all hard? Mm-hmm. But I think that would go farther than your little kind of under the breath comments or, you know, poignant points that you hope she catches. I don't think that's going to endear you to her, or her to you. And so seeing that it's a challenge here, but all things are possible with God, right?
Absolutely.
And when it comes to in-laws or the partner of our child, we have to be so cautious about picking our battles. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of behavior that's unpleasant but not dangerous, we have to tolerate. And there is a grin and bear it aspect to it. But then we go to our peers afterwards to download with them, to complain if we need to, and to get prayer support because it is so difficult. Sometimes in the moment, we've got to step out of the room and step away so we can calm down and collect ourselves, collect our thoughts, and go back into the fray again. At other times, we end relationship because the behavior is so bad and so toxic that we can't tolerate our child being treated like that and remaining in the presence of this person. It doesn't sound like it's to that extent. And because you want relationship with your family and your grandchildren, it sounds much more like it's on the level of tolerating and doing everything you can to maintain your own spiritual serenity so that you can be in these moments with her and be in forgiveness of her. Lastly, I want you to look at what it might trigger in you about your own history. If you've had an experience of infidelity that affected you personally, because it could be stirring something about you and your past when she makes these comments that I wouldn't care for either. I don't like how she's treating your son, but is there something in your history that's reminiscent of this behavior?
Yeah, that's really, really good. So,
I think as much as possible, we want to remain in relationship, right? Mm-hmm. We don't want to sever ties, if at all possible. And there's four grandkids that you can invest in and maybe show something different to than they're getting at home. And I think that's really powerful. So sometimes we have to look to the next generation to make our impact.
Yeah, absolutely. Edna, we're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. And hopefully that helps us clarify what is our role and our responsibility and what is not our role and our responsibility. But regardless, we hope that resource blesses you. And you know, our calls today are reminiscent of this challenge that most of us, if not all of us, have. And that is, how do we negotiate, or how do we maintain, like you said, Jill, relationship with something that it feels intolerable, or something that we don't like, something that feels offensive? And I was thinking about the verse in Romans that in as much as it is possible, meaning as much as it depends on you or us, remain at peace with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, that's a challenge.
Take care of our side of things.
Yeah, I was going to ask. So how do we do that, Joe?
Mm-hmm. Well, we look at our side. As Steve always says, our side of the street, right? And we look at where we fall short instead of focusing on the faults of others, right?
Yes.
And we do our part to be at peace, to have relationship continue, to stay in relationship. Sometimes that means we have to have a lot of boundaries around a relationship,
yeah,
right? And but there are ways to stay in relationship, even if it's limited. And we have to be aware of our limitations as well as the limitations of others and
yes,
not put unrealistic expectations on a relationship.
Yeah.
This is also where self-care is so important, because if I'm going to interact with a family member that is tough for me to interact with, and I take care of myself before the event and I have something planned after the event that mm-hmm, soothes my soul, then I have more capacity to tolerate what's frustrating about other people. And whether that's I'm making sure I'm exercising, I'm talking with my friends, I'm praying myself up and getting prayer support beforehand, all of that equips us for what are really, these are little spiritual battles that we have to go into so that I can go in better channeling God's grace and his patience and his love for this person that I'd rather not do that for, and I need God's grace to do it.
Yeah, that's really, really good. I'll tell you, for me, it's really been understanding myself. And this is where the, what we call attachment styles that are explained in How We Love. Like, I always thought, oh, I'm really good at relationships because I'm an encourager, because I, you know, can be likable. But what I didn't realize is that I was very superficial. And I myself carried a lot of anxiety. I think to what mm-hmm, you were both saying, I yeah, didn't have, I wasn't good at self-care. I didn't have a lot of peace within myself. There's a lot of anxiety around people being disappointed with me or mm-hmm, people being mad at me or leaving me. And there's some history that points to that in my own life. And so I became a pleaser. If I can make you happy with me, then that means we can live at peace. But I think that Paul in Romans was talking about something radically different than that. I can't control another person. In fact, if my behavior is offensive or hurtful or unsavory in some way, then I want the other person to have permission to let me know that. But that means that my pleaser is going to be really disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that something being unpleasant in me can be okay. And I can still be in relationship, in closeness, and in connection.
You know, early in my career, I learned a valuable lesson from a client who said to me one day, "Let me have my disappointment."
Mm.
And I realized that I was trying to keep her, as if disappointment would kill her.
Yeah.
Right? And letting her have her disappointment and sit with that was really, really important. And it was important personally because it made me aware of, wow, look at what I'm doing here.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Our job is not to fix other people, but that's mm-mm, where we feel the urge to act, because we can see everybody else's problems and their irritating behavior so clearly. But God keeps pulling us back to surrendering other people to him and mm-hmm, taking that deep look at ourselves and where we are trying to fix, trying to overhelp others and trying to defend so that we don't look at our own shortcomings.
Yes. Yeah. And I just find that more and more that people and relationships are disappointing. And to your mm-hmm, point, Alice, is that the less we care for ourselves, the less we center ourselves in Christ, heart, mind, soul, and spirit, the more affected we're going to be by other people and the less we'll be ourselves. So let us help you. Let us continue to help you. 1-800-229-3000. We're going to be in studio another hour. Give us a call, but thanks for being with us today. Take care.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.